This morning's message is entitled, Incredible Journey to the Cross. We know that this week is what we call Holy Week, as we remember Jesus' journey to the cross, where he gave his life for us. Bill read to you this morning the scripture from Matthew, which explains what happened in Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a colt, on a donkey. He was proclaimed by the people there in Jerusalem as the king. They worshiped him. They honored him. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' journey to Jerusalem covers a large part of the gospel. Over half the book. It starts, we hear it beginning in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Bill also read to you this morning the prophecy from Zechariah, where it was prophesied that Jesus, that the Messiah, would come into Jerusalem in this way, riding on a donkey, being proclaimed as king. It was something that probably at the time, Jesus' disciples didn't quite realize what all was going on, or that this prophecy was even being fulfilled. I'm going to reread again for you Zechariah 9, 9 and 10. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. And he will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Now, the people in Jesus' time were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for somebody to throw off the Romans. That's kind of what they had in the forefront of their mind as Jesus comes. Today, I want to look back at the beginning of this journey to Jerusalem. So, in Luke 9, 51, this is what it says. Very short verse. "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." So way back here, early in Luke, we hear Luke reporting that Jesus made a very decisive decision. He made a decision that he was going to go to Jerusalem. Why? Well, it says here in Luke, as the time approached for him to be taken into heaven. If he's going to be taken into heaven, that means he's getting ready to die on the cross. Jesus knows that. Jesus decides, I'm going to Jerusalem where they're going to kill me, where I'll die on the cross. And so Jesus demonstrates incredible determination to go, to face this, to go there to Jerusalem. It's a journey wrought with obstacles. Jesus knew the forces that would be trying to prevent him and dissuade him from taking this journey. Why is it so important for Jesus to go to Jerusalem? In Matthew, when Matthew talks about the beginning of this journey to Jerusalem, this is what he says, Matthew 16, 21. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." Jesus knows what he's doing. This scripture here in Matthew follows immediately after Peter had proclaimed that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus had asked his disciples, who are all the people saying that I am? And then he asked them, he said, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ. The disciples were beginning to get an idea about just who Jesus was, this man, this rabbi that they were following. But then right after that, Jesus says, and so I'm going to be killed on a cross. And Peter, of course, rebukes Jesus and says, no way. He's like, that's not the way it works. And then Christ has to rebuke Peter. He says, get behind me, Satan. Jesus observes this obstacle. There's a lot of forces that would like to say to him, this isn't the way. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to suffer like that. And so there's a lot pulling at Jesus. But Jesus says to Peter, when Peter rebukes him about that, he says, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Jesus is determined to make this journey. It was time. The time had been fulfilled, and there was a plan. And Jesus was going to fulfill that. Mark 10, 32 to 34 says this. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and he told them what was going to happen to him. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and they'll hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Jesus is headed to Jerusalem with a purpose. It's incredible to me how many details Jesus relates to his disciples, how much Jesus knows about what's going to happen. As a man, he must have been incredibly determined to not turn aside from that journey. Think of yourself as a person. Think, because Jesus was a man. He was God, he was a man. Think of the desire to not move on with that journey. Luke 18:34 tells us that the disciples didn't understand what Jesus was saying. They didn't get what he was talking about here. On this day, Jesus enters Jerusalem proclaimed as king, but he cannot take the throne at this time. He has a purpose to fulfill. He intends to give his life for the life of all sinners. He's determined to fulfill that purpose, to give his life for you, for me. He's choosing to do this for you. We're called to follow Jesus with the same determination that he had. We're called to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. The journey to the cross, the journey to Jerusalem, is our journey too. In Luke 19, 23 and 24, Jesus said this. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." We're all called to deny ourselves, not to try and save our own lives or to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ. We must be determined to do this, just as Christ was determined. Everything in our world says, look out for number one. Everything often within us says, look out for number one. Make sure that we get what we want. We're just as tempted as Christ was to abort that journey. But that's a dead-end street. The way of the cross is the way of life, Jesus says. He says, when you lose your life, you save it. And so Jesus has this incredible determination to complete this journey. John Piper says this about Jesus. He says, "Remember when you think of Jesus' resolution to die, that he had a nature like ours. He shrunk back from pain like we do. He would have enjoyed marriage and children and grandchildren, a long life and esteem in his community. He had a mother and brothers and sisters. He had special places in the mountains. To turn his back on all of this and set his face towards vicious whipping and beating and spitting and mocking and crucifixion was not easy. It was hard. We need our imagination to put ourselves back into his place and feel what he felt. I don't know of any other way for us to begin to know how much he loved us. It's how much he loves us. As Jesus goes to Jerusalem, it's not just with the determination, but it's with this incredible love for each one of us. It's why he does it. There's a purpose behind it. In John 15, 13, Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So Jesus loves us incredibly. It's why he continues on this journey to Jerusalem. If we were to look at Jesus' death merely as a result of a betrayer's deceit, of the Sanhedrin's envy, of Pilate's spinelessness, and the soldier's nails and spear, it might seem very involuntary. As you go through Luke, it continually describes this conflict that Jesus is having with the leaders of the Jewish religion, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they're looking for a way to put him to death. And then when he's brought before Pilate and the Romans, even though Pilate knows he's an innocent man, he goes along with the crucifixion of Jesus. If that's all that we looked at, we could say, you know, Jesus just got wrapped up in this web of injustice. But when we read Luke 9:51 about how Jesus went intentionally, we recognize that this is something that Jesus did voluntarily. It's something that he did for us because of the grace of God. The saving benefits of his death for sinners were not an afterthought. God planned it all out of infinite love to sinners like us at an appointed time. Jesus, who was the very embodiment of his Father's love for sinners, saw that the time had come. And so he set his face to fulfill the mission to die in Jerusalem for our sake. He was expressing God's grace towards us. Colossians 2:13-15 says this, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." It's what Jesus did for us. He had great grace for us. Well, this morning as we contemplate what Jesus has done for us, the determination that he had in making this journey, the great love for us, the grace that he demonstrated for us. And then as we look at the fact that just as Jesus did, we are to do. We're to take up our cross. What I want to say is that we're to live cross-centered lives. The cross really is there at the center of our lives. We must be determined to make the journey to the cross in our own lives, just as Christ did. We can't do that until we first of all accept the incredible grace of the cross, until we accept what Christ has done for us. And so three things this morning. As you follow Jesus, first of all, receive his love and grace. Receive what he's done for you. It's not about somehow measuring up when we talk about taking our cross or earning our salvation. We'll never go further in this journey than the degree to which we've received Jesus' love and grace in our lives. In other words, we can't lay down our lives to any greater degree than to the degree to which we receive God's love and grace through Christ in our lives. It's as we receive that from him that we then are able to deny ourselves, to take up our cross. And so receive his love and his grace. Receive what Christ has done for you, the sacrifice that he made for us. The second thing is focus on your cross. Focus on your cross. The word I want to highlight there is your. He says, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross. We can become overwhelmed by looking at the lives of others sometimes, of what others have done, what others have suffered, what they've laid down. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed when we look at all the needs in the world. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed when we look at all that needs to change in us in order to become Christ-like. But Jesus says, take up your cross. He doesn't say take up the other person's cross. He doesn't tell the other person to take up your cross. And so many ways we have, while we follow Jesus together, we also have a very personal journey. And so God has placed things in each of our lives where we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross. We need to deny that part of us. Sometimes it's our own desires, things that we want that would be easy for us. Sometimes it's denying that selfish and sinful part of ourselves that we say, that's no longer us, that's died, that's no longer me. But Christ says, your cross. We're not asked to take Christ's cross. Christ died for us. He's the only one that could do that. Third, focus on his purpose. We don't deny ourselves to take up our cross simply for the sake of self-denial. This journey is related to God's purposes of bringing life for ourselves and for others. And so when we're asked to take up our cross, it's always with some purpose in our lives, some purpose in the lives of others, in order to bring life. And so focus on that. What is God calling you to that brings life, both for yourself and for others? Jesus, when he struggled in the garden, what did he say? He said to God, he said, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus had a purpose in what he was doing. That's his understanding of what he was doing. It was based on what God's purpose was. So receive the grace and the love of Christ. And when we receive that, then focus on your cross. What is it that God's doing with you that he's asking you to perhaps deny or to put aside? Something that it seems like it's hard to do, but there's really life that comes from that. And focus on what is God's purpose in that. I was struggling with preaching this sermon because often I ask myself, am I truly denying myself? Am I truly willing to lay down my life as Jesus asks me to? So what I recognize with Jesus is that he set out with determination towards Jerusalem. That's what's needed to get started on a journey. There has to be a decision at the beginning. You've got to decide, this is where I'm headed. But that's only part of the struggle. That's only one place in the struggle. Jesus continued, I believe, to struggle along the way, and we see that especially in the garden as he prays. He struggles in prayer with laying down his life. It's the way it is with us. There must be an initial decision in our lives when we deny ourselves, when we stop trying to make ourselves acceptable to God, but we recognize that we're dependent on Jesus and we die to our sinful nature. We make that decision at a point in our lives. But that's not the end. We continue to have times like Jesus in the garden where we'll have to reaffirm our determination to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. In fact, Jesus said that it's something that we do daily. He said, take up your cross daily. And the counterintuitive truth is something we have a hard time grasping, that when we lose our life for Christ, we save it. It brings life. It was true of Christ. He went to the cross to rise again. So the way of the cross is the way of life. Next week, we'll celebrate that life that's found in the resurrection of Christ. But Jesus had to deny himself and take up the cross. And I don't think he could simply say, oh, I'll be up in 3 days. I don't think it was that way. He was giving up everything. And that was costly. Dying is costly. My encouragement today is that if you're struggling now in an area where you need to deny yourself, where you need to take up your cross, to do so just as Jesus did for you. That's the point this morning. Kind of an encouragement that this isn't an unnatural thing. If there's a place in your life where you're needing to lay something down, a place in your life where it's costing you something to follow Jesus, that's normal. That's what Jesus did for us. And so be encouraged by that. Face that, just as Jesus did. God strengthens us for that. Could be this morning that you need to make an initial decision to trust Jesus in your life. You need to decide, yes, I need all of that love and grace that Christ poured out for me in the cross. I need that forgiveness. And I'm going to put an end to that part of me that wants to rebel against God. And I'm going to let God now be in charge of my life. You may need to make that initial decision. Or perhaps there's something in your life that you know is not good. It's displeasing to God. It's harmful to you or others around you. It doesn't bring life to you and others. And you need to repent and you need to turn from that to what God calls you to that which is pleasing to God and that which brings life to you and those around you. That could be what it means to take up your cross, to deny yourself. Perhaps there's a place where you know that you need to do something difficult for somebody else. You know that God's calling you in some way to love someone else through the way you live your life, but it's going to cost you something. And so you need to deny yourself in that way. And you need God to strengthen you in that. Maybe you need to struggle with that. Jesus did. We can too, as we pray, as we talk to God. Perhaps you simply need the encouragement to remain determined in this journey, to be reminded that it's the nature of following Christ, that we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow Jesus. If there's anything specific that comes to mind as you think about this morning, I invite you to reaffirm your commitment to deny yourself, to follow Christ, to do just as Jesus did. Very determinedly, he made a decision that he would turn towards Jerusalem and that he would fulfill what God had for him. And we know the result of that. It's life for every one of us. That's the same thing Christ wants to do in our lives. As he calls us to this journey, he brings life to us and to those around us. I'd like to ask you to stand, the worship team to come forward. Let's pray. Lord, this whole idea of denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following you can seem heavy. But Lord, we're so grateful that you did that for us. You gave your life for us. And you also said these words. You said to take your yoke. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so you said those words as well. And sometimes that's a mystery to us, Lord. But Lord, a part of trusting you and putting our faith in you is that we know as we follow you and as we even deny ourselves and as we take up our cross, that which you call us to let go of, to put down, to deny of ourselves. Lord, that the result of all of that, Lord, we trust, is to bring life, to bring joy, to bring salvation. And so I ask that you would open our eyes to be able to see that. Lord, when it seems difficult to us, Lord, I ask that you would come and that you would strengthen us as we talk with you about it, just as Jesus did. Enable us to talk with you, Lord, and to victoriously follow the journey that you set before us, just as Christ did. In Jesus' name, amen.